In today's digital landscape, providing your company security isn't just important, it's essential for growth. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the automated trust management platform that helps your business achieve and maintain compliance across over 35 security frameworks, including SOC 2, ISO 27001, and HIPAA. By streamlining security processes and automating compliance workflows, Vanta gets companies audit-ready fast while providing continuous monitoring as they scale. Fast-growing startups like LangChain, Writer, and Cursor have already trusted Vanta to building their security foundation from the start. With deep integrations and AI-powered automation, Vanta helps teams complete security questionnaires up to 5 times faster, turning compliance from a roadblock into a growth driver. Go to vanta.com/Wondery to save $1,000 and join over 10,000 ambitious companies already scaling with Vanta. That's vanta.com/Wondery to save $1,000 for a limited time.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So Brittany, she's like, thanks for meeting me. She's like, well, I had a 30-minute break, mother, between jobs, plural. So I came over to your house, planned to meet up, and then Jared at the same time. Remember when this happened last time? This happened last time. So I came over to your house and then Jared came over at the same time and you guys just started making out right in front of me. Didn't even glance at me. So I guess the difference here is that a man you were dating was there for the first one. So now that he's not here, you're going to give me your full attention, which I appreciate. But I want you to get to know me and I want to get to spend time with me over anyone else, especially somebody that you're dating, not dating. Who knows? Thank
this
you.
Was, oh my gosh, this was crazy. I mean, good for Olivia. She's like, she's I'm so showing up in my pantaloons and I'm giving this woman the business. And that's it. And I love that she was just like, hell no, lady. You don't call me. You don't make any effort towards me. And then you want to have a little pity on TV. So you're going to have me come to some coffee shop and I'm supposed to like jump in your arms and start crying over steamers. You got another fucking thing coming, lady. So yeah. You remember last time you tried this shit? You made out with your boyfriend in front of me the whole time. And that's the last time you tried to see me. So thanks. But it would be nice if you actually made an effort, you know, that didn't involve a man being there or you being on a fucking camera. You know, I was like, damn, Olivia for president. Jesus.
She was amazingly self-possessed. She really was like, we've seen a lot of these teenagers, these that they come on. They're usually a bit timid or they're kind of nervous or I don't know. They kind of mumbled through their issues. And she was just like, nope, I've been down this road with you before, mother, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. Now America will see how you treat me. I was like, yes, she was great.
So she's like, oh yeah, I don't even know how that happened. I really don't. I've just been in the habit of choosing men for so long because, you know, I have kids that I don't even get to see. And she's like, oh yeah, no. You're not going to put that on us. You don't get to talk about how sad you are because you have kids who don't talk to you. She's like, no, but I'm not. I'm really trying. I'm trying to get to know you. You like steamers. I got you a steamer. It's steamers.
So then we see Olivia. She actually spit. It's sort of amazing. We've never even met Olivia. And now she already has like a confessional towards us. She looks great. She's all glammed up. She's gorgeous. She's like, my mom was everything you'd want in a mom. So present in our lives. Every field trip, every dance recital, every school talent show, she was there. And she was so much fun. I was 12 when she got remarried. And it was like somebody flipped a switch in her brain to turn that person off completely. So like to go from, I love my mom. She comes with me to everything, to begging her for attention. It was so hard because I knew that she can be a loving mother who cares about her kids. I know it's in her. It's like, damn, that's awful that Olivia had to go through that and goes through it currently.
And such a crazy switch to flip because usually you I don't think I've heard this before where it's like she was amazing. Like she went to every dance, every, you know, every class, every recital. She was there. You know, we see all these pictures of them being happy and hanging out. And it's like, and then suddenly she just didn't ever want anything to do with me because she found a man. I mean, that's just fucking crazy. And yeah, she's like, shocking. I think it's important that you take accountability and realize I wanted a mom. I mean, what kid is like, I don't want my mom to raise me, you know? Like, I can't wait to talk to my dad about periods. And Olivia's like, oh, I know, but, you know, that's sad. That's sad, Olivia. And I'm so sorry, but I don't know how to make it better. I mean, I just don't know how. I can't go back. And she's like, yeah, I know, but I put myself in your shoes and I think I would never do that. So why did you do that? And she's like, I don't know. It's not the right answer, girl. Like, I know this isn't going the way that you thought it was going to go on camera, but you can't just do this to somebody and then just be like, I don't know, water under the bridge, right?
Olivia, well, I have a question. Have you ever seen the wolf cry at the blue corn moon? Mother, stop doing Pocahontas. You can't do that every time we have a tough conversation.
She's like, listen here, touring company. I'm not going to listen to that. Listen to that off-brand Judy Kuhn. Okay, I'm not going for that. So she's like, yeah,
well, amusement park singer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not here for a non-union apology. Okay. And Olivia's like, well, I feel like it's important for you to figure out why you prioritize a relationship with a man over me so it doesn't happen again, because that's my worst fear. And she starts crying and she's like, I mean, it felt like it was me. Like, I was the one who did something wrong. She goes, I'm so sorry. Of course it's not you. Of course it's not you. It was me. And she's like, but why? And she goes, I don't know. I mean, you were there. You were cute, but someone thought I was hot. What do you want me to say? Have you never felt a spotlight on your face?
Mother, you cannot Weird Al the Pocahontas lyrics and see what you're doing. So, Brittany, have you ever felt a spotlight? Brittany is like, I'm sorry, you're my precious baby that you know nothing about, but I really want to get to know again. Like, you still like steamers, right? Mother, get off the steamers. I don't know what you're talking about. I was four. Okay. Look, I just would love the opportunity. Okay. If you'll let me get to know you. She's like, well, I just don't want to get hurt again. I'm sorry.
Why are you rubbing a cactus? Your hands are bleeding. It's something I do now. I'm sorry.
Don't you remember when you were two, we looked at the cartoon cactus on TV and you loved it and you laughed so much? I was two, mother. I was two. I don't like cacti anymore.
This whole scene was crazy to watch. This was crazy. And just the end with Brittany doing her like lifetime movie tears was, it was cringy. And I felt so bad for Olivia. Although, you know, good for her because apparently she has a really good dad, you know, and sister, because she is so confident and knows exactly what she's feeling. Like, she's extremely in touch with what she's feeling. And it's so impressive that somebody, especially that young, can lay out exactly their problems. Like, here's exactly why I'm pissed. There's no, you know, acting out in other ways to kind of get around to the point. It's like, no, this is exactly why I'm pissed. When are you going to stop doing this? And Brittany's just like, Brittany's just like, I don't know, because
I think
I'm literally still doing it with Jared. So what can I tell you?
I think, you know, one thing that like we, and by not just the two of us, but I think like the audience has always noticed about Brittany is the way this group will just slam her left and right all the time. And she's like, guys, and we always laugh how like she just keeps on taking it. Like, they will say the meanest things. Like last week, Bronwyn was like, you guys, I think we can all agree. We all have good hair. So let's stop making fun of each other. Well, of course, except for Brittany. It's just like, she gets strays left and right. And it's like funny because she just takes it. But it also kind of speaks to like this like emotional shell that she has, where I think that she just doesn't get like, she doesn't get the emotional input or understand like something is kind of broken in her. And so when you see that applied to her relationship with her daughter, it's like not as funny anymore, because I mean, it'll still be funny when she receives strays, but like the way, I think sort of like that emotional numbing that she has when she receives these strays, when it's applied to how she's receiving very earnest and sincere cries for help from her daughter, it's like it lands in a very different way.
I think she's just a narcissist who loves attention, and that's all she knows. And like the lady's making fun of her, she doesn't care because it's funny. You know, she's on a TV show, so she's being mentioned, and that's all she cares about. Like she showed up to an interview last week, you know, after they did the Vanity Fair. They did the Vanity Fair article, and all the ladies were featured as Desperate Housewives. It was a play on that shoot or an homage to that shoot. And so everybody showed up in the same bathing suits and did the same poses. And Brittany was like the only one who was left out of it. So she showed up to the interview wearing a bikini, you know, wearing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because but it's also just somebody who it's just shameless. You know, it's just a shameless person. Also,
because she was like, guys, I had to wear this. I mean, come on, right? Of course I had to wear it. I'm like, you didn't have to. It wasn't like no one was crying out being like, oh my God, Brittany must wear a swimsuit. That'd be hilarious. She thinks that though, which does speak to some sort of narcissistic quality that she has. So now let's go over to Meredith and Heather walking alongside a chain link fence with snow melting on the side.
I love a good old fashioned SLC scene, you know? This is the exterior of a junkyard. All right, let's do this scene. So they drive up and Heather's like, oh my God, are you driving yourself? Look at this. Meredith Marks is driving herself. I never thought I'd see it.
Yes, this is true. But it's been a tough 24 hours. Yesterday afternoon, my throat was getting sore. Sorry, Heather. And so I went and grabbed the coldies, and I didn't even chew it, and I chipped a tooth on the candy somehow. And then Brooksy was walking around barefoot, and I said, don't walk, you'll cut your foot on the tooth shard that's on the floor. It was very scary.
Then somehow I walked to the edge of the bathroom. I kicked my toe on the shower. That toe is blue. Backing away from that, I stepped on the Lego, waved my arms until I cracked my hand into a mirror and flew down the stairs head first. Tumble, tumble, tumble. Hit my head on the chandelier. That fell down, crashed down on my knee. Before you knew it, I grabbed for anything I could. It was a fire poker. I started waving at the chandelier and electrocuted myself. And then the house started on fire. It was just quite a day.
And then, oh,
sorry if I'm limping.
When I tried to go upstairs to save my toddler, a paint can came swinging down on a rope and hit me in the forehead. And I thought, oh my God. And then I went down to the boiler room. I burned myself on the boiler. One thing after another. Oh my God. I'll never go back to that house again.
It's like I was trying to rob my own parents' house.
Oh, that sounds awful. Well, is that why you're wearing those? It seems like this doesn't seem like the right shoes for this walk. Well, honestly, it's easier because my legs are conditioned to being in heels. My mother put me in heels as soon as I came out of the womb, and I've actually never worn anything flat before. So I actually have feet that are in the shape of pumps.
So funny. It's like I'm conditioned to being in heels, so it's healthier.
Wow. Anyway, this is a beautiful environment that you've chosen for us. I love the way the sun hits that dirty snow over there in the corner. It's very scenic.
Well, can we talk about the garden party that quickly turned? Well, I went shopping with Lisa, and there was part of me that felt like I wasn't getting through at all. I mean, how many times do you have to say sisterhood before a person gets it, you know? Oh, gosh. And you know I love Lisa. I've always loved Lisa, haven't I? And I just want to defend her, don't I? Oh, but I also don't want to be a fool because, you know, also I wasn't Lisa's friend for a while and this is very recent. So it's the first time I'm seeing how she pulls you in and kind of slings the mud. And like I used to think she was truly fearless. And now I'm wondering if she was fearless. She'd just say these things to our faces and not drop them in other people's buckets.
She does say them to your faces. You are such a manipulator. I cannot believe you. Not only did you start this whole war between everybody, but now you're sitting here acting like she's saying things behind your back. Everything that she said to your all's face.
And also her saying, Heather saying, wow, you know, this, now I'm seeing how she pulls you in and then slings mud. I was like, Heather, this is what you would always accuse her of for the first three seasons of the show, three or four seasons. And her, and I love Heather being like, I always thought Lisa Barlow was fearless. Oh, God. Come on.
So she's like, yeah, I mean, it feels like the
pieces are falling into places. Like, you know, she has a very specific move, and that's to dig up dark skeletons.
I think the best, and I mean this as a compliment, but I think the best detective work on this show, wasn't that you who found Monica's, you know, Monica's? Yeah. I think that was the best detective work. I mean, what would you blame Lisa for doing detective work on? I think she's gotten caught on the necklace thing, but I don't even think that was bad because Bronwyn was not lying about the necklace, which we found out later. And What else was there? Am I forgetting something?
I'm not sure. Well, maybe Lisa was behind saying that Angie was in the Greek mafia that same season. I'm not sure. I don't know what other stuff Lisa has. What Lisa does is she throws out accusations. That's not what I heard. I heard that you were doing this or that. Like she does kind of like, remember at the end of last season, she said something kind of like, well, I heard that you were doing threesomes. I think she said that to Angie or what. She hurls rumors that she may or may not have
Monica
heard
Garcia brought up the Greek mafia stuff, and Meredith Marks was accused of bringing up the rumors. I had to Google it.
I apologize. So much has happened.
No, I mean, there's a lot. So much happens on this show, you know? Like, you have to look at it.
So Heather's like, well, it made me think, why did you let Lisa off the hook at Whitney's party? That was supposed to be the time when you turn on her. That's why we were all there. Well, the thing is, when Lisa and I had our falling out a couple of years ago, she did profusely apologize to me for years.
You know why? Because she got caught red-handed and she couldn't deflect and she couldn't avoid it and she couldn't bob and weave and she was caught and so she owned it.
Yeah, but that wasn't even talking behind her back. That was going off to herself in a bathroom on a mic when the mic was on, right? That's what they're right. Well,
but then
about.
The question was whether or not she was like aware, like did she, was it a hot mic moment intentionally or was it unintentional? That was always the debate.
Mm-hmm.
So Meredith says, well, my view is that when somebody shows you who they are, you deal with them accordingly. Okay. But what if she didn't? Right. And you're considering that, like, what if she didn't? Well,
she's like, but Meredith, she did it. I mean, God love her. We've known this woman for so many years. I mean, it tracks. You know, she's never going to say she did it and she's sorry. But it's kind of what Angie was saying. You know, she's done it to everyone at different times. And it just makes me doubt Lisa. And that's why I believe Angie.
So see, Heather's trying to submit. She's playing her hand too soon because she started the season like subtly trying to throw Lisa under the bus. And now she's like literally trying to rally everybody. But it's Lisa, so it'll probably work. She'll get Lisa to lose her shit in 2 seconds. But
I mean, look, Heather, from my standpoint, I don't have a great track record with Angie. So at this point, she said she didn't do it. I have to give her the benefit of the doubt until I have something coming to me that tells me otherwise.
So she's like, listen, I believe Lisa. Why is Angie's mouth? Why is whatever comes out of Angie's mouth gospel? You know, like,
what about the commentary on your Barbie censor kicks? Was that true too?
We see a flashback of that. It's like, was she totally telling the truth about then? That. Yeah. And Heather's like, well, I don't want to be in a friendship with Lisa if I have to keep her at arm's length or watch my back or wonder if she's only like not digging up dirt on me because she's not mad at me right now. Who did she dig up? I'm just like so confused.
Well, No one should be digging up dirt on their friends. And I definitely won't be doing it with my broken toe. Anyone who's doing that is not a friend.
Soup Man isn't dirt that Lisa dug up. That was stuff that was talked about on a podcast and that was people were talking about online. I feel like a lot of times they get on this show and they go look at all the gossip that's going around on TikTok and Reddit and everything else. And then they bring it up to each other and then they accuse each other of spreading it when it's been out on the internet the whole time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So Heather's like, I believe that Lisa's done that, though. And I believe that she did that to you. And it's going to keep happening if we keep looking the other way. And we're going to have resentments. And I don't want to be in a friendship like that. I really don't. This is a sisterhood. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Meredith would even think that this is something that we can just overlook. Like she may not have. But, you know, girls will be girls. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just sort of throwing cliches. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Am I right? Can't cry over spilled milk. Can't have your cake and eat it too. It's a sisterhood of cake.
Heather. She's trying so hard, but forgets that everybody was coming after Meredith for setting everything up for the past couple of years. Just like they're like she's accusing Lisa of doing now. This was your storyline against Meredith for years. It has been for years. And now you're trying to get Meredith to say that it's always been Lisa. I mean, if it's always been Lisa, it's also always been Meredith. So you're trying to get someone on your side for something that has been in trouble for the same thing for years now. So It's just crazy, this logic. So she's like, well, I just want us to be able to acknowledge when we're fucked up and move on. Okay, then acknowledge that you went and started all this shit with Lisa and the other women right at the start. That's what I say. Yeah. And she's like, we're the rest of us are able to say we're sorry, but I would love for Lisa to say she's sorry for a few things too.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. So she ain't going to do that.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now we're at Whitney's house, and I don't know what's going on with Whitney in this scene, but her hair looks crazy because it's like red, but then she's got like a brown patch right in the front, which I know roots, whatever. Her makeup is off. Like she, I think she was alerted 10 minutes before the scene that they'd be shooting at her house. She's like, oh my God, have to get ready. She looks bonkers.
So, all right. One of the important things about this trip is a preference sheet. And we're leaving and you have to do yours, Mary. You're going to regret it if you don't.
So they have to fill out their preference sheets. And we see Heather filling out hers in a flashback with Meredith. And Heather's like, please tell us what your ideal breakfast looks like on this order. Okay, wake up, huevos rancheros, overcooked bacon, eggs benedict, donuts, and sisterhood.
I'm not really into breakfast. That's more of a time when I just feed up some pureed vegetables to Brooksy, but I don't eat anything.
Yeah, let's just move on to lunch. Move on to lunch.
I want dark Tenegal on the boat, please. Dark Tenegal, thank y'all.
I'm gonna say must have glitter spray. This is gonna be an epic trip.
Oh, I'm sure Daisy's gonna love that. All your glitter spray everywhere on this luxury ride.
Oh, they're spraying their glitter again. What am I supposed to do? Just wipe up all this shininess? Just sink the boat already and send me off on a dinghy.
So
Whitney's like, I don't know why the bougiest person doesn't want to do the bougiest thing on the bougiest boat. Did I say bougiest already?
So they're trying to get Mary to do it. And so we see that Mary has very strong preferences. And it's 2003 Dom Perignon. We see the flashback to the hotel where she gets on the phone with room service. And it's like, do you have 2003 Dom Perignon? And they say no. And she's like, oh.
So she keeps telling Angie, okay, just put down 2003 Dom Perignon. Okay. And parfait for breakfast, yogurt parfait. 2003 Dom Perignon. Okay, I got that part. And 2003 Dom Perignon.
Blueberries, Egyptian cotton sheets, 2003 Dom Perignon. Like, okay, we got that one.
Mary is like, I've been on a yacht before. I love it. It's something about it. There's something about a boat for me. It's like, feels like it's at night. And it's just rocking to sleep. Maybe because I was never rocked to sleep. I just get it from the boat. It's like, oh, that turned sad very quickly. So Angie, they're just going through more of this stuff. And then they're just at like coffee or tea. Speaking of tea, have you guys seen all the tea on Bronwyn floating around on the internet, which is a word that ends with T?
Have you seen Mary? Like just today, the first thing I saw was Bronwyn allegations of identity theft. Like it's crazy, right?
When I read the headlines, I was, what does Trixie say? Oh yeah. Gagged. Message to future employers for Justin. That's not a real gag. Oh, but sometimes we do the real gag. What am I trying to say again? I'm lost.
I was lost, but then I found gagging again. I'm back, baby.
That's why I'm magag. Make America gagging again.
Oh, we're gagging.
So I try to choose friends who are not part of the Utah crime circle, but obviously my picker's wrong.
So I'm gagged. Like,
So has anyone talked to Bronwyn? Has anyone talked to her? Let's go to Bronwyn at Todd at the Edison Club Social House.
Dun, dun, dun.
So she comes in bikini bottoms, you know, which everyone who's like suffering in the press right now, the first thing we do, like, you know what? I'm putting on my underwear and I'm going to dinner. Okay.
Listen, you got to sometimes make an ode to SpongeBob in bikini bottom.
Well, I got you a drink that you like, loaded myself up on Diet Coke, so we're good to go. And I just, in the spirit of transparency, your beverage did have a cherry on it, and I did eat it.
I got you a Shirley Temple. Sorry about the cherry, loser.
Now they just call it a temple. Say it's the Shirley part.
Okay, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I know you saw my messages. These ridiculous headlines that have nothing to do with anything but, you know, talking about all the things that have actually happened to me. So what are we going to do about it? So she explains to us, there's two separate things happening here. There are mistakes I made in college. We're talking 20 years ago. Okay. And I mean, what? I had an eviction notice after I left BYU. I mean, okay, I paid it later. Okay. And then they're saying that allegedly I committed crimes current day in the last year or so. Identity theft, grand theft, fraud. I mean, all these things listed under the penal code. Okay. There's just so many things under the same penal code. What actually happened was almost 10 years ago. Nothing recent. But I mean, it's a case that's dismissed and then it was sealed. So I just can't talk about it because it was sealed. Okay.
Almost 10 years ago means 9 years max, right? Like that's about 9 years ago. And 9 years ago was about 2016, 2017. I don't know. That still seems pretty close. That's like not like, oh, way back in crazy college times.
But then what is the year about? So if she committed crimes during the current day in the past year or so, identity theft, grand theft, fraud, all these things, then why did it happen almost 10 years ago?
Well, she's saying it didn't happen recently. She said the thing they're talking about is as if it happened just right now. It happened like 10 years ago, it got dismissed and then it was also sealed. So I'm not even allowed to even talk about it because it's sealed.
Oh, okay. So she's saying this, they're acting like this is recent, but this was 10 years ago. Okay. So she's like, yeah, that was dismissed and sealed. And so I can't legally talk about it. Well, that's not what being sealed means. Of course you can talk about it. They can't talk about it. The court can't. Well, like the court is sealed. Your lips aren't sealed.
I don't know what the rule is about the sealing. You know, like, I don't know what that is. But Todd's like,
well, you know, this lying bullshit online in the press, it affects us all.
Well, you get a case sealed if it's embarrassing to you. So if there's a case that, you know, whatever happened and you asked for the case to be sealed, that's because it could be, you know, reputation harming. I think you can get that like your first or second. I mean, I just watch Law and Order. That's all I know it from, you know, law shows. But from what I understand, the case being sealed doesn't mean you can't talk about it. If you were the one that was being, it was sealed in her favor. You know what? Does that make any sense? Like, you asked for the case to be sealed so your reputation isn't damaged. So you're the one, you can talk about the case. I just think that the court isn't allowed to release documents on your case.
Oh. Well.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. So Todd is now saying how all this lying is affecting him personally and professionally.
Just the other day, they started telling me that Palm Pilots are dead. And that's only because of these rumors. God, my entire business is sinking.
And she's like, I know it's going to cause a problem for you. I know. I'm sorry about that because I know it's going to be a concern. I know that my name next to any of these words reflects poorly on you. And, you know, you need to be seen as someone who is, you know, trustworthy and beyond reproach and going to show Dennis the Menace, who's boss. You know, I get that. And I know, Todd, I know. Okay. So I get it. And I just separate from that. But I saw your text and I should think about not going on this trip. So I want to talk about that.
So just in case anyone didn't see the parallels, Bronwyn's whole issue with her mom is that when she had Gwen and there's all this crazy shit that like Bronwyn's concerns, Bronwyn's choices were last on anyone's priorities. She had to be more concerned about her dad and his position in the church and his reputation because of her actions. And that was a higher priority than how she was doing. And now here we are again where she is. The brunt of tabloid rumors that are embarrassing or maybe jilting or whatever. And she has to be concerned about Todd's position in his professional career that probably already peaked 20 years ago. Just want to say that she's found herself back in the same position.
Yeah, it is an interesting parallel. But I would be interested to see what this stuff is, you know,
meaning that like he should be saying not like you understand that this is going to hurt things for me professionally. He should be saying, what do you need from me I'm sorry that you are on the receiving end of all these rumors that are absolutely not true. Don't worry about me. I'll get through this. People, my reputation is good enough that like it's not going to be an issue for me professionally, right? Like the fact that he's piling on and making her feel shitty.
Well, I think it's also, and I hate being in the position where I'm kind of standing up for Todd here, but I don't know what Bronwyn did. So I don't know how bad this is that he got this covered up and sealed and all of this other shit. So I don't know. But I think that what's exacerbating it probably for Todd, if you put yourself in Todd's shoes, is that she's like, okay, so all these rumors are about me. So I'm going to go film a TV show on a boat with these women who are going to do nothing but make this 20 times worse. You know, because I'm obsessed with being on this TV show. So I think he's just like, oh my God. I think he's just like, can we just get off this fucking TV show at this point? What more do you need? Like now they're really trying to ruin our lives. Like what more do you need? You know, I mean, I get you're supposed to support your spouse, but like if it seems like it's ruining your whole life, how much support are you supposed to give before it's like, well, when do you support me? Like how much of this is going to ruin my life that I have to just put up with so you can be on your TV show? It's not like it's just some fun TV show that happens to be a minor inconvenience. This is like life ruining stuff, you know? Well, I think any spouse would be a little bit like, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah, but I think then that conversation happens before you start up your next season, right? Like it's like, this is ruining our life. This is having an impact on me professionally. I know you like it, but I don't think I can do this or whatever. But I just feel like I just don't like that his first response is about like his profession, that like he's having this is gonna be harder for him. This guy who by the way, the guys he probably deals with in corporate America do things probably 10 times worse than anything that Bronwyn's ever done. But
well, I don't think he said anything mean to her. I think his line was, this lying bullshit online in the press affects all of us personally and professionally. That's all he said. I don't think he was like, damn it, Bronwyn. What have you done now? Yeah, but he was just like, this shit in the press it's like a killer. What are we going to do about it?
But like, she has to come in here and grovel and be like, well, I know this really affects you. And like, oh my God, I know.
Well, you can't marry an old grumpy man and then be like, why is my old man grumpy? Like, I mean, I don't know what to, okay.
I feel like this conversation can be had, but I think the priority right now is making sure that your wife is okay. And like everything's in good standing and that she knows that you have her back. And then you can say, but by the way, maybe we should reconsider this show because it's now starting to affect things larger than just like squabbles, you know, that you have in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. I just felt like he was not there for her in this moment. And I felt like she had to spend more time tending to him. I know what you're saying though. Like, we don't know like already how much he's had to deal with in terms of these, in terms of these legal affairs that they've already been maybe a burden on them in the past. And it's sort of like bringing something back ups, you know, et cetera. But I just didn't love that she had to come in and just take care of him when she was the one like having her embarrassing past.
I don't know. It seems like they've got a good partnership in a way to me. You know, I think we look at this and everybody's like, that grumpy old asshole, you shouldn't be with him. And I'm partly like that too. I mean, I was saying in the scene before, like, I think a marriage should be happy. I mean, in my head, it should seem more happy than this has ever seemed. But at the same time, the vibes they have, it's like they're at the social club, they're having drinks, and her first thing is to come in and just be like, okay, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? They seem to have a partnership where it's like, okay, how are we dealing with this? Where are we going? I didn't really see her coming in here being like, oh my God, Todd, I'm so sorry. I see her being like, okay, how are we going to deal with this? You know? And him being like, okay, let's... I mean, I see it as them kind of... He's a gruff asshole. I'm not going to say he's not. Obviously, I've said it a million times, but it seems like they've got some kind of partnership that works for them is all I'm saying.
They do. I don't deny that. But also, they're smart people and they know about reality TV. They know everything comes out. There's no hiding. Every single thing is going to come out. Maybe they had convinced themselves that this part wouldn't come out. And if anything, we've learned from Wendy and Eddie that smart people do stupid, stupid things. But like, I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that they, like, I just think it's hard to believe that they're, I don't know. I just don't like that she's not the priority in this moment right now for him. That like, she's obviously texted him frantically to be like, oh my God, this shit is going public. I want to like, I need to talk with you, et cetera. And I don't know. I just felt like I just.
Well, he was texting back. He was saying, yeah, I don't think now's the right time to go on a trip, the cast trip with these people. This is like some heavy shit, you know? And she's like, no, I'm going on the trip. So, I mean, I don't know. But and here's another reason I have a feeling completely another reason I have a problem completely falling for Bronwyn, because she's look what she immediately does. And when you say these people are smart, look what she immediately does. She's like, oh, well, you know, based on our past, there's a heavy possibility that Lisa started these rumors. You know, there's a possibility if she didn't start them, she's perpetuating them. And you know that. And I want to be done fighting with Lisa, and that she could have been sitting there pretending to be my friend and pretending that she wanted to make up. And then this is what she's doing behind my back. That's pretty diabolical. This stuff was coming out all over the internet, I think, because people started researching Bronwyn when it seemed like she was lying all the time last year. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like, here we go. You're going to scapegoat Lisa Barlow again for this, which she will use it. Lisa Barlow will use this. I see her. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying she's above using it. I just see Bronwyn seems kind of diabolical to me, too. So I'm just not in the whole like Bronwyn's a total victim. Wow, 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 Bronwyn thing. I don't think Bronwyn's a super villain either. I'm actually enjoying Bronwyn a lot more this season than I did last season, but I'm just not ready to jump in the boat of like, oh, poor Bronwyn, she needs more from Todd. I think she seems to get quite a bit from Todd. And I don't even mean financially, because obviously that's something. But I think they have some kind of weird partnership, friendship thing that I don't really understand. But it's not coming across to me as him being like emotionally abusive to her at this point. It's coming across to me as him being like, all right, well, how can we deal with this? First thing is probably not to go on TV and make this even worse on a group trip where you're stuck on a boat with these people. You know,
I don't think he's being emotionally abusive. I just think that, you know, he's just sort of, I think, condescending to her. And whether or not she deserves to be condescended to, that's the gray area. I mean, you'd like to think no one deserves to be condescended to.
No one deserves to be condescended to. I just think they have a vibe.
Yeah, but I do think, though, that it is a leap that Bronwyn immediately starts blaming Lisa for this. Like, that's a little wild. Is it that is Lisa the only person she told about these things that happened in her past? That would make a little bit more sense, but it is kind of hilarious that she immediately starts pointing the finger at Lisa Barlow. Like, it's actually a pretty big jump.
And I think a lot of the energy he's giving her is energy that we've been getting from him the whole time, which is parent-daughter energy, right? Because he's like, well, because he says, I wouldn't go on that trip. And she goes, well, what are you worried about? Which is such a ding-dong question. Like, really? Fraud, grand theft, fraud, I mean, what are you talking about? What are you worried about? And he's like, well, a tiger can't change its stripes, okay? And she's not going to change. And what I said to you a year ago, I don't know why you get in the gutter with her, because that's what it is. You just get in the gutter and muck around with slime. You get down with dogs and wonder why you're covered in fleas. You eat a lollipop and then wonder why your teeth got cavities. If you decide to go, I get it. You're a big girl. You're a grown woman in a dinosaur costume and underwear in public. But I understand. Just don't come home complaining that you and Lisa got into a fight, because I assume it's going to happen. You're setting yourself up for it, and it's on you. That's literally on you.
Well, he's right about that.
I say fair.
He's right. And I think that's fair. And like, I think he's fine. It's like, go, you're going to do this. There will be a fight. I don't really want to hear it. I'm telling you right now, this is not a smart idea. But she's got to go to work. Got to get that paycheck.
Yeah.
So off to the Caribbean she goes.
Yeah. So let's see. Looks like a disaster. We see the preview, yes. And Lisa's just sobbing down stairways the whole time.
It's a shit show. A shit show.
Yay.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. Fun times.
Yeah, good times, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We will be back tomorrow with a little wife swap action. Thanks for being here. See you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sarah sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
We're obsessed doll with Tessa V.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.